I just handed out the tables. It's a two-page table that shows changes in FTE with respect to all these different caseloads and so on.
The previous page.
If you flip over to the second... Right. At the bottom of the page, on the second page, you'll see, again, the increases in non-public assistance food stamps. At the bottom of the page, the SLIMBYs and QUIMBYs, and those are the main drivers. You also see up above reductions in non-abuse caseload and also in-home services. At the very top of that second page, you can see that the FTE related to nursing homes went down, as did their caseload.
Representative Patridge.
Madam Chair, I move the recommended LFO current service level with the reservations that I previously stated on the record in regard to the caseload pieces. And do you want me to do total funds or read the whole thing? Or
we don't need to.
As in presented to the LFO piece on Senate Bill 5527, a total amount of $1,359,860,064 with 1,137 position and 1,070.52 FTE.
Representative Patridge moves the approval of current service level as recommended by LFO in the amount of $1,359,864 total funds. That's a mouthful. $526,417,152 general fund, $665,591,943 other funds, $767,850,969 federal funds, 1,137 positions, or 101.70.52 FTE. Any discussion, any objection? That is with the reservations that had been stated previously by Representative Patridge. Hearing none, so approved.
Madam Chair and members, there are three policy package adjustments that we are recommending to you today. The first is on line 34. We've already discussed this. That's why it's shaded, but we did not approve it. We just reviewed it last time. This is the 1% out-of-state travel reduction, $347 general fund, 89 other funds, 464 federal fund reductions. Total reduction of $900.
You want to approve them one by one or the whole package?
I would prefer
the whole package.
Oh, okay. Line 35 is to restore Medicaid services to persons in survival priority levels 15 through 17. Total funds cost $23,257,201. 27 positions, 24.50 FTE.
That is number three on your list.
That's right.
Representative Patridge moves that we accept policy packages and those adjustments for 34, 1% of out-state travel reduction, and policy and 35 that restores Medicaid services to persons in SPL 15 through 17. With the total funds amount of $23,257,201, $9,317,648 general fund, $883,925 other funds, $13,055,592 federal funds, 27 positions, and 24.50 FTE. Is there any objection? So ordered.
All right. Now, Madam Chair and members, I want to give you, to start with, one handout, and this is all related, as I said earlier, to the rate restructuring that you've been interested in. And I'm going to hand out a summary sheet. We have other sheets to hand out if we want to go there. So.
You don't, this is too much if you don't have to, right?
No.
This is looking through that concern we had about rate increases.
Yeah.
We did these.
Madam Chair and members, the summary sheet that I gave you is the first handout related to rate restructuring. And this is something that we've been trying to clarify over the last roughly 2 weeks. Number one, it shows that the governor's recommended budget, the governor proposed a rate restructuring mechanism for assisted living facilities, residential care facilities, adult foster homes. It also reduced the number of hours, but not rates, for client-employed providers. The overall general fund reduction in the governor's printed budget was $6.1 million general fund. And we'll get to what those specific rates were in a moment in the next handout, but this is again a summary sheet. The second item on here is that there was an initial first DHS reshoot for the SDSD budget that modified the governor's recommended budget rates for assisted living facilities, residential care facilities, adult foster homes, and it removed all the reduction to the client employed provider hours. So this was included in the first reshoot. Now, to LFO, this represents a policy change from the governor's printed budget. Typically in a reshoot, what we're looking at are changes in caseload, cost per case, and things like that, not general policy changes from what was initially included in the governor's recommended budget. However, this policy change was included, and you can see here that it generated $8.9 million of savings. So it generated more savings than were in the governor's printed budget by about $2.7 or $8 million general fund. After LFO saw this policy change, what we asked SDSD to do was to develop a modified reshoot that used the governor's printed budget rates but adjusted the cost or the savings based on new caseload information that we had. So this modified DHS reshoot produced about $7.2 million of general fund savings. And I note here that it used the rates and the client employed provider hours that were used in the governor's printed budget. So again, the modified reshoot used new caseloads. However, we asked the agency to use the same policy that was included in the governor's printed budget. And again, that produced about $7.2 million of general fund savings. So between the first reshoot and the second reshoot, we're looking at a decrease in savings of about $1.7 million. And finally, I note here on number four, the governor's June proposal, he has made a proposal that would save about $5.3 million of general fund. And again, we're going to be getting into this in a little bit more detail. But this is kind of for starters to sort of summarize what the savings were for each of these iterations of the governor's budget.
Show us the rates.
Okay.
I guess I have another question, in because this target keeps moving. I mean, it has moved so much that, you know, we start at 6.1, and even with the pace shifts, you're trying to track, really, you go to 8.9. Then you ask the question of using the same factors with 6.1 to modify it, so that you, and then you're at 7.2, and I know that there's some cases that were increased and some cases that was decreased. This implies to me that you had more decrease than you did increase.
On number three.
And then you get to four, and then we lose 1.9.
Madam Chair.
Depends on which variable they're changing, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, the differences between one and three should not be the result of rates changes. We ask the agency again to hold the rates and the policy constant between number one and number
three.
That's right.
Okay.
So the changes there in the amount of savings should be the result of increased caseload, primarily in assisted living. And in fact, there were some increases in those caseloads that generated higher savings.
Okay. Move on.
Okay.
Increase in caseload. Whatever it's better to say.
You sure we don't need to have a position for this?
John, Mr. Chair. John, once again.
Senator Duncan.
Madam Chair and Senator Duncan, the difference between number one on this page and number three on this page has nothing to do with a change in the governor's policy.
Right. Okay, we understand that.
Right.
So we're trying to understand your last statement where you said increase caseload.
Mm-hmm.
It's in number three.
Increases.
Generally, the rate was reduced.
You generate more savings because if you have a higher number of cases and you're saving money from each one, you'll have a higher number of amount of savings.
Because he cut the rate.
Oh,
but they cut the rate.
If I have, for example, just not giving you...
Okay.
We'll wait for the rate structure.
Yes. That's at the moment.
Okay. If we're saving a certain amount of money on one case, and now we have two cases, and we're saving the same amount per case, we will save, the savings will go up.
But okay, but that's not the full story, but okay, that's, yeah.
Let's see the...
You see the numbers.
Bring on the numbers.
Yep.
You're going to love me for this.
You mean there's something...
Give him a hug already to begin with, Madam Chair.
John anticipated a slower group. Any good teacher does.
In the envelope, please.
Oh, this is good. This I can deal with.
I'm that old.
I am too. You're
40,
I'm 47.
There's a couple of screens, so the people out there can see it.
What?
What are you in too many?
Oh, you want me to go?
No, I didn't. Okay. This next handout shows the rates for each type of facility in the left-hand column. These are the rates that were used in the governor's recommended budget to generate the $6.1 million of general fund savings. They are broken down into adult foster care, residential care facility rates, assisted living facility rates, and on the back of that page, client employed hourly, not rates so much as hours. The right-hand column represents number three on my summary page. This is the reshoot using the governor's printed rates and add-ons. However, it's been modified again for caseload, known caseload changes that were made.
And rates changed, too.
So the rates have remained the same between the left-hand column and the right-hand column.
They haven't.
So the first column, the left-hand column, represents the rates that were used to build the governor's printed budget, number one on my summary sheet.
Representative Bates.
John, I may have gotten off the wrong page here. Attachment B?
Yes.
Left-hand column, right-hand column?
Yes.
And it says living facilities. It looks like the rates also changed. That's the one that gave you trouble. They changed the rates as well as the caseloads, aren't you? Am I reading that wrong?
You are reading it correctly, and I'd ask the agency to tell me about that one.
Madam Chair,
on line one under assisted living facilities, the rate in the governor's recommended budget, 1508, in the reshoot, 1515.
Yeah. So just a misprint, maybe. Maybe it's just a misprint.
Madam Chair,
Representative Patrick.
John, do you have something that gives us the current rates, though?
Yes, we'll get to that. Yes, we do.
You want to come up?
That's right here.
Because in order to ask questions, it's going to be hard for me to do it without having that sheet. So.
Well, Madam Chair, can I just throw one other little thing in the mix?
Representative Carlson.
And that is, when I'm looking at the percentages used to decide what case would be in the base or have add-on, those look like they're different.
Yes.
Going through.
Yes, they have changed based on caseload changes, and the agency looked into the kinds of clients that were in the caseload and projected how many would be in each category. So yes, they did change, but the rate structure did not. That's a good observation.
Dan?
Let's get an answer to
that.
Madam Chair,
that was on the assisted living facilities rate change.
That is a misprint, possibly.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dan Kaplan of the Senior and Disabled Services Division. The rates should be the same except for the first rate. The first rate on the left-hand side is 1508, and on the right side is 1515.
What's the reason?
The reason is that these numbers were re-estimated on the right side, taking out the impacts of level 15 through 17. And so when we take out of the mix the least impaired clients, then the average rate goes up a small amount. But as you move to the right on both of those columns, what you'll see is that the rates are maintained the same. The rates starting in January of 2002 are part of the policy package. The 1508 and the 1515 are really meant to be estimates of the current rate, because in the proposal we would maintain the current rate for the first 6 months of the upcoming biennium.
Any other questions while we have Mr. Kaplan before us? Ms. Reverend Patrick.
John, I'm trying to follow, and maybe I don't know if Mr. Kaplan can follow this.
Madam Chair,
I'm just trying to resolve, like on line three on the assisted living facility, or number three on assisted living facilities, we change, and the governor's recommended we have a percentage, and the reshoot and add-ons we have a percentage, then in the newest reshoot we have raw numbers.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to
get the
result. Okay.
I'll get to that. Again, Representative Carlson pointed out that the percentages assumed to go in each level have changed. That's correct.
Right.
And that was based on a review of the caseload that the agency did. So those percentages in each level did change.
So the mix.
Yes, that's correct.
But the ultimate. Okay.
Now, I want to respond to Senator Yee's question. Line one of assisted living facilities in the governor's recommended budget, the January 2002 change should be 1,375, not 11,375.
It's a misprint.
What's a misprint?
In the assisted living facilities, the January 2 figure, which is, says 1,375. You've got an extra one and a comma there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some sharp lines.
Now, the second page of this handout shows you the rates that were used in the first reshoot, and this corresponds to the summary page number 2. So these rates on the second page and the back of that page, you'll notice that the client employed hourlies were not used in the reshoot. So that the savings that were generated in the governor's printed budget from the client employed provider hours reduction were removed in the initial reshoot. But the rates have changed here. For example, the adult foster care rate in the governor's printed budget, the base rate was 917. There were three add-on levels of $225 each. In the reshoot, the base rate starts at $900. The add-ons were $180 for level 1, $120 for level 2, and $60 for level 3. So these represent a modification of the governor's printed budget rates. Now, the last handout I want to give you shows the current rate, the governor's printed rates, the rates that were used in the first reshoot, and then the rates that are being proposed in the governor's June recommendation. So I'll hand that out to you right now.
This is 926.
I think
I have an extra one.
There'll be something he's going to explain to us.
Oh, I like this one.
This runs it across for you.
Madam Chair, a quick...
Senator Duncan.
Just quickly, on a commercial home and a non-commercial home, I assume... What's the difference? Yes, what I'm trying to...
Madam Chair and Senator Duncan, the non-commercial home, I believe, are relative foster care. So if somebody's taking care of a relative,
Okay. These
are the rates that are paid. The commercial home is probably the kind that you visited where...
It's in a home.
That's right. That's right. And they're taking care of up to five.
Madam Chair, Senator Duncan, typically the...
Would you state your name for the record, please?
Excuse me. My name for the record is Dan Kaplan of Senior and Disabled Services Division. Typically, the commercial foster home is licensed for five individuals. Some are licensed for four or three, but typically it's five. With a relative foster home, obviously, as the name implies, there is a blood relationship between the client and the provider, and typically there is only one person being cared for.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. The final handout that I just gave you shows a comparison of rates. It shows the current rate in place today, the rates that were used in the governor's printed budget, and it appears to me that these rates for the governor's printed budget would be the final rate as, for example, in the assisted living facilities, the rate reduction was phased in over the course of the next biennium. So level one, or the base rate, is $1,175. This is the rate that would go into effect January of 2003. So it is the final, the lowest rate, if you will, that would go into effect during the 01-03 biennium. In the May reshoot for assisted living facilities, there was a flat rate in the sense that there were no levels, just one rate. The lowest that it would be was $1,225. Now, the other piece, this shows residential care facilities, the current rates, residential care facility contracts with Alzheimer's units, adult foster home commercial, adult foster home relative. And then toward the bottom of the page, it shows the assisted living facility phase down schedule. So it shows, for example, that in the governor's printed budget, the rate in effect, base rate in effect,
might be a lot more.
For July of 2001 would be 1508. That rate would have remained in effect until January 2002, when the base rate was dropped to 1375. It would drop to 1275 in July of 2002, and it would drop on down to 1175 base rate in January of 2003. So this shows you the phase down schedule for the assisted living facilities and also the residential care facility contracts with Alzheimer's unit and specialized care facilities. At the bottom, you can see again the general fund savings, $6.1 million for the governor's printed budget. The May reshoot shows you again the rates that were used in the May reshoot, leading to total general fund savings of the $8.9 million that's listed on my summary sheet. Now, with that, go ahead, John. Well, with that, I would propose, Madam Chair, that the agency could talk about the governor's June recommended rate structure.
Yes. Reverend Patrick, the agency can.
I have questions for the agency.
Yeah. George. Oh, who will be willing? George and Dan.
They want,
and Roger. I think. And Doug is here with you as well. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Reverend Patrick.
I'll wait till they get settled. I'm interested in what the average rate is now in each of these particular types of facilities.
That is the key question.
We will have to get you the average rates. In all of our, excuse me, for the record, I'm Dan Kaplan of SDSD. In all of our current rate setting systems, we have five tiered systems, and what this proposal does is it changes those.
But yep. Reverend Patridge, and I think what he's asking for is your current average rate, not where you're going, but what currently exists.
And we will produce those for you. I don't think we have them here today.
Reverend Patridge.
Madam Chair, then I don't see. We should even talk about this if the governor's office can't come, if the division can't come forward with what their average rates are in each of these. We're looking at some major cuts here from what I understand. I understand the assisted living facilities, most people are 4 and 5s. If you're going to average those rates, you know, this is a very substantial cut. And based upon the, you know, this has been a high concern of this committee.
Right.
We have had, you know, we had those, the housing department did their consultant reports, and I'm just surprised the department's here knowing we were considering this without that information.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
First, I'd like to thank John Britton for trying to put this thing together for us. I know it's been very difficult, and I appreciate his efforts. He's got something kind of reasonable here for us. But I'm going to echo Representative Patrick's concerns for the same as mine. We need to know what the average is. We need to know what percentage of individuals are at each of the five levels.
Oh, okay.
And if we're going to three levels, which I understand is a recommendation, where we know where those people are, the three levels. Further, I would like to know where the different homes fall out, because there's another variable here. Some homes have maybe 30 or 40% Medicaid or less. Others can have as much as 90% Medicaid. And frankly, and this is what we're all concerned about, I want to see homes closing down and people put out of ELFs when they've already been in there for a period of time. These people have sold their homes, and frankly, I don't think we have enough residential care or foster care to suddenly take on lots of people moving out of ELFs because they're closing down. That's my concern, and it's all of our concerns. So we need all the variables here. We need to know where we're at at three new levels. We need to know where we are specifically in various ELFs around the state. We need to know what the proposed right now rates are for those, which I understand are under negotiations. We don't know for sure yet. I understand that.
Senator Duncan, do you have a question?
Madam Chair, I'm sure someplace earlier on we talked about what those levels are. Is that would I find that in our booklet someplace?
Yes, I think the information, you mean the actual description of
the levels.
Of the levels.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, we have that information in here.
Madam Chair, Senator Duncan, I'm not sure.
I don't remember
about whether we put the...
No, not the 15 to 17. I'm talking about, they have right here, they have five levels. There must be a descriptor of how those are defined. I'm sure it's from the least amount of care to the most severe, but I was just kind of curious about a breakdown. Is that available for us?
Again, as with the caseload numbers, these are things we can lay our hands on fairly quickly, and when we...
I brought you back so many times and to get your budget done. And I'm going to share and express the concern that the members set up here have, that this is basic information that this committee needs in order to pass out your budget. And if we've got to bring you back continually, you're only irritating those of us who are sitting on this side. These, to me, seem to be very elementary questions that would be expected to be asked for this kind of panel. And for you not to be prepared to give us that kind of information, to me, is either you haven't been before a committee before, and I know that's not true, but we cannot pass anything out of this panel until this panel fully understands the dollars that you want to expend and that we have the assurance that it's not going to adversely affect the population that you serve. And I would expect, and it really does bother me, because I'd expect to move your budget today, at least to move the preliminary. And we cannot move it. We couldn't move it the previous week because you were not prepared. I expect you to really be prepared when you come back.
We will, Madam Chair.
When do they come back, Madam Chair?
After that,
you know, the session will end and they won't have a budget. Mr. Britton, when would we reschedule to come back? I'm very irritated. You know, this is very serious. We've been addressing this issue of your rate structure and addressing the dollars ever since. In fact, you were one of my first committees to talk to. It has been one of the issues that's been in this building that has one of the major concerns when we look at the human resources budget. And for us to continually have to send you back to the drawing board, you know, it really does bother, I think, every member sitting on this panel. We're extremely concerned about what happens to the seniors. We're very, very concerned that we make the decisions that reflect good policy and that we have the adequacy of what we need as far as dollars to do that job. And so it's my expectation that the questions that were raised today that talks about the level, how you got to the level, the average dollars now that you are expending within those levels, that you will get that information to Mr. Britton by Monday.
You will, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Senator Duncan.
I agree with you, but in all fairness to them, I think we ought to be sure that we have all of our questions on the table.
Yes.
So we don't come up with something new when they come back again. I think that'd be, and I'm trying to think if we could even identify those right now, any other questions we have, so that they know when they come back.
We want the average current rate within all of your levels, assisted living facilities, current residential care facilities, the adult foster home commercial, the adult foster home relatives. You know, that's the kind of information that we need in order to get from point A to point B.
Madam Chair, I think what is going to help me, and I'll do this for the separate, I'm going to give you, in fact, I can't think of the name of the place where I was, but I was there, and I'm going to give you the name of the place. Okay, what is the impact on that particular place? Not that that's, I'm trying to say deal with them, but it'll give me a feeling, sure, too, of what's going on. So if
we're happy to,
we can chat, and I'll try to find out the name of the...
Senator Duncan, if we have currently what we're providing or we're giving to those categories, we can begin to know what the impact is with the change.
Right.
We have no way of knowing the implications if we don't have their current baseline.
Well, Madam Chair, that's the reason I asked for the levels. I was trying to think as I went around that room, and I know the different rooms and the beds and so forth. It would give me an idea when you're talking about the levels, those five levels, and I can kind of picture that whole thing. That's why I say it'll be helpful to me as well.
Representative Patridge.
Madam Chair, just to clarify the kind of information that I'm seeking, I'd like to see them take Mr. Britton's spreadsheet or something similar to what they have now in this kind of format, provide what the current caseload is, what the governor's recommended budget caseload was, what the current projected caseload is, what the average cost is in each of the levels, and then an overall average cost, so that way we can tell where the population is as well.
And Madam Chair, if I can continue just a little bit.
Thank you, Doctor.
What that's going to help me determine a little bit is that, and I think Representative Bates said it so well, we want those places to be able to survive. I'm anxious to know, and I'm sorry, it's an N of one, but it'll give me a clue. Will that place be able to survive with the kind of changes we're talking about in rates? And so I think that's what's going to be happening. Where I think that's our goal. Keep those places in survival mode.
Madam Chair, I'd ask the same information that the Representative Patridge asked for. The other thing I want also, though, to make it real clear is I know some of these homes are at greater risks than others because of their Medicaid population being larger or smaller. We need to know the names of the places that are truly at risk. You've got a 30 or 40% Medicaid population, 60% private, you can probably survive. Maybe not, depending on those rates. I shouldn't say that. But if you've got a situation where you're in a rural area or an area of poverty anywhere in the state, and you've got 90% Medicaid, those are the ones that are most likely to close. And they're in my mind, you're talking about people who are at highest risk, and that's our most vulnerable Oregonians, and we don't want those people off the street.
Are there any other requests of the agency? Senator Yee?
You asked me to prepare a performance measure, I think mainly for OPI and the AAA, and I have written it down for Mr. Britton. I don't know if Mr. Britton has...
I have not.
Oh, I see.
But I have not yet. Uh-huh.
So you want me to read the question?
No, we'll let Mr. Britton work with them. I think they have enough to get back to
us
by Monday.
It mainly has to do with OPI performance and whether the ones who can afford to pay are paying it or not, and how they are going to implement it. And then performance measure for AAA and compare with state employee performance.
Senator Shields. Is there some information you would like to, Senator Shields?
Well, I hear everybody saying they want to see these all survive, and I have to be honest with you, as a pastor that's been in more of these facilities than most in the last 30 years, there's some of them I wouldn't want to see survive, because they're not always doing from the consumer's point of view. I'm talking about, you know, wives of elderly husbands that come and tell me stories of what's happened in this place or that place. You can't factor that in on this grid.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit. But I'm just sharing a reality test with you.
Yeah, I think that the quality or the the issue of the oversight and what we really should be doing is a different issue than trying to get us to the budgetary decision of approving the agency.
I was just reacting to the generalization that I heard from the committee.
Yeah, good point.
Representative Patrick, and then we're left. We have
anything. Madam Chair, I'd also like to get from the agency, and I don't want, and I'd like Mr. Britton to look at it as well, but I'd like to get what it would cost if we kept the current rate structure in place versus what it is costing under the new plan on a line-by-line item, so we can see what the difference is by category, what it would cost if we kept things whole versus this change, so I can get a better picture. I mean, the overall savings that John provided us is helpful, but I think this kind of format is fairly helpful if we wanted to do that. John.
May I respond to that, Madam Chair?
Okay.
Madam Chair and Representative Patridge, buyback cost right now is $8.9 million in the sense that this is the amount that was assumed to be saved in the reshoot. Now, the difference between the $8.9 million and the $7.2 million represents what was saved and subsequently used to balance the SDSD budget and the overall DHS budget. You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Okay. What's the other piece?
One last piece. I'll leave this alone for you. I wish I'd gone home this weekend after all, don't you?
No.
There's been discussion of a moratorium on ALF placements, and that we better utilize our foster residential care in place of it. I would like to see, if possible, what that would look like if you maintain the present rates, put a moratorium on ALFs for the next 2 years, and allow the new people coming in the system to be directed towards residential care and foster care, and see where that would put us on an overall financial package.
Okay.
Madam Chair and Representative Bates, am I correct, and I'll direct this to these gentlemen, that is part of the governor's June recommendation?
The moratorium?
Madam Chair, yes, it is in fact part. The moratorium is part of the governor's June recommendation.
I'm sorry, you can go ahead. The answer was yes, it is part of the governor's June recommendation.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to, if there's no further questions, and if there's no other action that Mr. Britton wants us to take on Senate Bill 55527, Senior Disabled Services, I'm going to adjourn. I'm going to close the hearing and work session on that with the other understanding we'll bring them back next week. Because we really do need to get this budget moving. And I will open the hearing on, come on, Rick, we're in good stead right now. Changing the...
Change your card.
Opening a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2294. Is Mr. Mink?
I don't think so.
We'll take a. I'm going to take a 2-minute recess and then re-